Good afternoon. I've chipped my cheekbone and my hip, and I've cracked my wrist. I've broken ribs, toes, and a finger. Starvation during my teenage years kept my hips from reaching their adult width and damaged my reproductive system. I struggle to fall asleep, and I struggle from frequent nightmares. My blood vessels still break so easily that my bra sometimes causes bruising. This is a retrospective account from Elena Dunkel, and it demonstrates some of the long-term health outcomes that people who have anorexia experience throughout their lifetime. She then went on to say, "I'm one of the lucky ones. 24 of my anorexic friends have lost their fight. They're already dead." Research has found that individuals with eating disorders have significantly elevated mortality rates, with the highest rates occurring among those with anorexia nervosa. This is a list of other health outcomes or consequences that result due to anorexia, including abnormally slow heart rate with increased rate of risk of heart failure, osteoporosis, amenorrhea, growth of lanugo or a thin layer of hair all over the body to keep the individual warm, headache, anxiety, apprehension, and guilt. This next slide does have some disturbing images that might be triggering or disturbing to some people, so just I invite you to close your eyes or look away. These images aren't meant to glamorize anorexia, but are instead to show the faces and the bodies of the people that we're talking about. Most people with anorexia have low body weight together with an eating disorder behavior. There is some research about anorexia, including clinical samples and population studies that include both survey data and interviews, but it's very limited and it's often conflicting. I was trying to understand the average age of onset for anorexia. One study said between 13 and 15, with nobody over the age of 20 ever being diagnosed with anorexia. Another one said age 19 is about the age of onset. And then a third study was specifically about those who are diagnosed with anorexia after the age of 30. So the research doesn't match up. That being said, the lifetime prevalence of anorexia is estimated to be between 0.9 and 2% of the general U.S. population. The trends over the past year have shifted from being the middle and upper class to being all the general U.S. population, and it has increased over the past 10 years. So in Utah, those who are underweight are kind of the other side of obesity, and we decided to look at, or to better understand the magnitude and consequences of eating disorder behaviors among underweight adolescents in Utah. I'm the presenter, Deanna Kamel. I also would like to recognize my co-authors who could not be here, Michael Friedrichs and Megan Waters. To do this, we used survey data from the YRBS, or the Youth Risk Behavior Survey, from 2011 and 2013. For those of you who are not familiar with the survey, it is collected nationally in most states. It includes youth grades 9 to 12, has several different health topics and risk factors, has a strong methodology, including randomly selected schools and classes, active consent, and requiring a 60% response rate as well. So we defined potential anorexia using two components. The first was having a BMI below the 15th percentile based upon age and sex growth charts. This is consistent with some other studies that we found on anorexia in adolescents. In addition to one or more of the following self-reported behaviors, which includes trying to lose weight, fasting, taking diet pills, vomiting, or using laxative to lose weight in the past 30 days. When we look at our population by weight category on the x-axis, girls are in green and boys are in yellow. We find that the majority of our adolescents do have a normal weight category. However, we do have 12.4% of girls and 11.2% of boys who fall below that 15 percentile. When we look at those four eating disorder behaviors, again, girls is in green and boys is in yellow, we find that trying to lose weight is the most common behavior, followed by fasting, vomiting, and taking dieting pills. And all of these behaviors are more common among girls than boys. So when we look at the numbers, in Utah, we have 3.9% of girls with potential anorexia, 1.4% of boys, and for adolescents, that's 2.6%, nearly 3,000 girls, 1,000 boys, and 4,000 adolescents. We then wanted to compare that to U.S. numbers, so we used national YRBS data, and we found that we do have higher rates for girls, boys, and adolescents in Utah. We then looked at health risks for adolescents with potential anorexia. We specifically looked at depression and suicide, bullying and substance abuse, and physical and sexual violence. So these graphs, they have health risks along the x-axis, or questions that are asked in YRBS. We then have our potential anorexia population in blue, and in orange is those without potential anorexia. I would like to highlight the first one, which is feeling so sad or helpless for 2 weeks that they stop doing their usual activities, or depression. 42% of those with potential anorexia compared to 26% of those without potential anorexia. In addition, considering suicide, making a suicide plan, and attempting suicide were much higher percentages for those with potential anorexia versus those without potential anorexia. This next graph is bullying and substance abuse among adolescents. Again, blue is those with potential anorexia, orange is those without potential anorexia. Being electronically bullied in the past 12 months, for those with potential anorexia, 36.6% of those say that they have been electronically bullied, compared to 16.3% of those without potential anorexia. Also to note, smoking cigarettes and drinking alcohol, while those behaviors are more common among those with potential anorexia, it's 7% compared to 5% for smoking cigarettes, and 15% compared to 13% for drinking alcohol, so very similar. For physical and sexual violence among adolescents, we find that intimate partner violence has large differences. For those with potential anorexia, 32% of them say that they were physically hurt on purpose by someone that they were dating, compared to just under 6% of those without potential anorexia. Also, 38% of those with potential anorexia say that they were physically forced by someone that they were dating to do sexual things, compared to 9.6% of those without potential anorexia. So I've got three takeaways from you today. Number one, anorexia nervosa is a serious psychological illness with long-term physical outcomes consequences. Number two, eating disorder behaviors among underweight adolescents is very high in Utah. Number three, those who have potential anorexia are much more likely to experience other health consequences, including cyberbullying and intimate partner violence. This is consistent with other research that is out there. So our recommendations are to improve surveillance. We had to collapse 2 years of data to get these findings. So understanding trend data, or if this is increasing or decreasing in our adolescent population. Also understanding that age of onset, understanding duration of how long they would be diagnosed. Does the behavior come first, or does the BMI come first? Or relapses as well in the population. Also allocating resources, and include in that, you know, improving partnerships between public health and mental health as well, to look at some of those risk factors that do occur among our adolescents. And finally, recognizing that eating disorder behaviors are a part of adolescent health. It is part of the picture, and these behaviors aren't just for those who have a low body weight. A lot of adolescents have eating disorder behaviors. So a healthy body is a beautiful body. Just a few photos from Utah. Thank you very much.